Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, family, and welcome to SOAR with Dr. Stephanie Brown on WPGR Radio Network. Thank you so much for tuning in to listen, and for those of you who are going to end up calling in. I am a life coach and a physician, and I am here to use my voice to help sisters overcome and rise. I get to do this by discussing relevant topics and struggles that we encounter in our lives with a focus on how we can overcome them by transforming limiting beliefs into living our best lives. I'll be taking calls later, so if you want to join in the discussion, you can press 1 to be added to the call queue. So today's topic is one that is very near and dear to my heart. The topic is mentoring makes a difference. This has been so very true in my life, and I'm sure it's been true in many of the people who are listening in today. I was watching an episode of the revamped Twilight Zone show last night, and in that episode, there was a comedian, and he had this power, or some would say a curse, that when he talked about people, he would get all of this applause from the audience, but then that person would cease to exist. But if he didn't talk about anybody and he just did his regular comedy shtick, he got no applause and his show bombed. Position where he had to decide if he wanted to have the booming career, even if it made people disappear, or if he wanted to settle for a mediocre career and keep people around. So one day he got jealous of his live-in girlfriend's mentor. This man had mentored her through law school and was still a very close friend of hers that she spent a lot of time with, and now, even now that she was a successful attorney. So he was angry and he was jealous, so he decided to mention her mentor during his act, and sure enough, her mentor disappeared. And after the show, he was really excited to see his girlfriend, and what he realized when he saw her is that she was not the same. She no longer had her favorite red coat on that he had gotten her in Paris. She looked tired and worn down and was very irritable and needed to hurry off to her shift at work. And he was curious, like, why are you going to work at this time of night? Aren't you going to the law firm? As it turns out, she was no longer a lawyer. She worked at a restaurant. Because once he made her mentor disappear, it made such a difference in her life that she had never become a lawyer. She had also never had a chance to travel to Paris to get the favorite red coat. And also they never had a chance to travel to Paris where they saved their relationship. Consequently, they ended up breaking up. So him getting rid of her mentor changed everything. Of course, that's a very dramatic story. But when I think about mentoring and if it makes a difference, sometimes it is that dramatic. Mentoring makes a huge difference. And when I think about mentoring making a difference, I tried to flip the question and said, well, who made a difference in my life? And were those people mentors? And what I discovered is that the question was resoundingly yes. When I look back over my life, all of the people who've made a difference, even in very small ways, the ones who gave me advice about college, the ones who just invited me to their home for dinner just to discuss medical schools that they went to, even my boss, when he took extra time out to make sure I knew all of the opportunities that were available to me and to kind of push me in the right direction, they were all mentors too. They're not the big, larger-than-life mentors that I typically think about when I think about a mentor, but those people are mentors too. And if I took away all of those little differences that those people made in my life, surely I would be a completely different person and would be at a completely different place in my life. So I thought that Twilight Zone was very appropriate for today's topic on mentorship. So when I reflect on my mentors, I mentioned that this is a topic that's very dear to my heart because I've had many mentors who've made a huge difference in my life. And as a matter of fact, this is a topic that was so important to me that I ended up publishing an article on the importance of poor underrepresented minorities in academic medicine. As soon as I launched my career in academic medicine, I was told that I would need a mentor. And it was pretty clear to me with all of the unwritten rules that a young assistant professor had to learn and abide by that I would need someone who was able to teach me the culture, show me the pitfalls, and give me some tools to be excellent in the career that I had chosen. I remember sitting in this huge ballroom in Lansdowne, surrounded by all of these young black and brown faces who were eager to learn the secrets to a successful research career. We were all sitting on the edges of our seats, waiting to hear the name of our assigned mentor. We had heard many presentations throughout the weekend and had a rolling list of some of our faves in our heads, wondering which one would get picked or which one would pick us. Then this 5 foot, maybe 4 foot 11, petite red-haired Latina woman approached my group and introduced herself and started speaking passionately, using her hands and using her body as she spoke with such passion and purpose. And the five of us looked at each other, and we knew we were in for a ride. What are the odds that we would all be women and that we would also be assigned a woman mentor? Dr. Zambrana immediately took us under her wing and looked at us as an extension of herself and an extension of her family. Our success was her success. We would spend weekends at her home working on our grant. She would feed us plantains and other traditional Puerto Rican dishes, and they were always garnished with capers. That's where I fell in love with capers. We would have coffee, and then we would go out walking through the beautiful wooded area surrounding her home because exercise was always a must. And then after our walk, we would come back and gather around her kitchen table, and Ruth would rip our grants apart and make us rewrite it for the 11th time. We talked a lot about our dreams of having a family and the challenges that our chosen career would present to making that dream a reality. Over the years, careers were launched, health disparities research was advanced, marriages were mourned, pregnancies were celebrated, and sisterhood was created around Ruth's kitchen table. So when I think about mentoring, it is definitely something that is very near and dear to my heart, as my mentors are also very near and dear to my heart. And Ruth wasn't my only larger-than-life mentor. I've had many wonderful mentors, and what I've noticed is that there are some characteristics that are very common amongst all of the great ones. And these are the same characteristics that I try to emulate with my mentees as well. One of the characteristics of a great mentor for me has been that they share their whole selves, flaws and all. Them sharing their flaws are helped me to keep from falling into the same pitfalls as they did. There are costs to having successful careers, and they're able to navigate you through those costs. My great mentors have always been secure and established in their career, so there was no sense of competition. So with my great mentors, there was no competition. They were also willing to give me access to their capital. Their capital being their letters of recommendation, their connections, their inside information, any capital that they have. And the other thing is that my mentors who were great also helped me to find meaning and purpose in my career. They steered me in the direction of my highest self and highest goals. And they helped to guide me in the direction of my destiny, even if that looked different than what they imagined for me. There came a time when I had to leave academic medicine, and my great mentors understood that decision and still supported me in that. Much of the nostalgia that I feel for academic medicine relates to those strong bonds that I formed, not only with my colleagues, but also with my mentors. I could talk about this topic all day, but I want to pause a moment and ask if there are any listeners who want to ask a question or make a comment before I introduce our esteemed guest. You can please press 1 to be added to the call queue. So my guest this week is Karen Johnson. She is the Medicare Region President for WellCare Health Plans. She's responsible for developing business strategies and operational plans for Medicare on all of the West Coast. She earned a Bachelor of Science in Nursing, a Juris Doctorate in Law, and holds an Executive Certificate from Wharton School of Business. Karen, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, and good evening, Dr. Brown. It is both a privilege and a pleasure to join you and your guests this evening.
Thank you. Your professional bio is beyond impressive, and you may not know this, but you were a mentor to me as I was growing up. I watched your and my Aunt Andrea's friendship. I watched how you were a mother to your daughters, even when you didn't have all the answers. And I watched how you and Andrea supported each other as friends, all while building your careers. So I was watching and learning even as I was growing up, and it definitely impacted how I looked at what it meant to be a successful working mom. So sometimes even when you don't think you're mentoring, you can still be a mentor without even saying a word.
Well, first of all I can say is wow. And for your listeners who aren't aware, I think about you as, and I still do, even though you are this accomplished physician and mother and wife and community activist, I still think of you as that young lady. Actually, you were a little girl when I met you. And when I think about, you know, watching you and seeing where you are now, I take just a little bit of pride in the fact that you feel that I had a little bit of part in making that happen. But it's just been so rewarding to see how you've blossomed and to hear about the things that you've been doing to mentor others. I mean that sincerely.
Thank you. Thank you. So you have an amazing career, as I just described a little snippet from your bio, and you've risen to the heights of leadership. How has mentoring helped you to get to where you are today?
Well, I would start by saying that I've had a variety of mentors, both formal mentors as well as informal mentors, probably just as you described, people who I've watched from afar, people who have at some times, you know, just taken a moment to give me a piece of advice, to give me some feedback. But where it's probably been most impactful in my career has been those who have been a bit more formal mentors. They've provided me advice. They've been supportive, particularly in the world that I've matriculated through from a business perspective, which is health insurance, which is a very, very white male dominated business. And I look back and think about those formal mentors who really took the time and recognized that I would need some assistance in navigating that world. And so they provided me, honest feedback. They gave me confidence, helped me to be more self-aware and insightful. And so I think back and think about, what helped me to navigate my career. And it's the fact that I had mentors who were willing to provide me candid feedback, who were willing to listen. They didn't always feel they needed to tell me what to do, but they were willing to listen and allow me to make choices. Not always the best choices, but to make my own choices. And I had one who comes to mind who said to me, and it's a piece of advice that I still give every day in the work environment. And he said to me, Karen, you may not always make the right decision, but what I'm expecting of you is to make a decision. And for him and me, it helped me to become decisive. And I think when I think about navigating my career, a lot of it has required that I be willing and comfortable with being decisive, even when it isn't the most comfortable decision.
Yeah, that's great advice, because sometimes it's really hard to be decisive. So that's really great advice. The other thing that I've noticed is that many times I get questions, people get coaching and mentoring confused. I like to tell people that you hire a coach to help you reach a personal or professional. We often will help you overcome those barriers that stand in the way of where you are now and where you want to be. And many times those barriers can be your own thoughts, like thoughts that are not serving you. But when I think of mentoring, I think of finding someone who has done something that you want to do and agrees to invest their time and energy into helping you get to where they are, like I sort of mentioned earlier in the show. But what's your definition of mentorship?
As I think about mentorship, I guess I would say that it's a two-way learning environment. It's really one of where there's support. As a mentor, you create a safety space, if you will. It's an environment where there's growth. And if it's a really productive mentorship, both the mentor and the mentee gets to grow. It's helping someone meet their professional and sometimes their personal goals as well. At all stages of their career and at all stages of their life. Those to me are the most impactful mentors. It's not just for a short period of time, simply to get to that next job, if you will, but it's someone who is creating this environment where they're going to have an impact for their mentee throughout their career, throughout the different stages in life. And for me, it's a really powerful way for me to connect, to positively contribute and challenge, to help someone create and ultimately develop for all of us a better place.
Yeah. I really like what you said about it being a two-way street, because it really is a two-way street or two-way relationship. And that's good to remind, because I think sometimes when we think about mentoring, because I had somebody ask me recently to mentor them, and my first thought was, well, I don't think I'm far enough into what I'm doing to be able to mentor. But the other thought was, gosh, that's like a lot of work. But I didn't think about all of the stuff that I would get back in that relationship. And I do a lot of mentoring in other forums and other areas where I feel a lot more confident, but this one area I wasn't feeling quite so confident. So that was a good reminder that it's a two-way relationship and you can both grow and learn together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Another thing that I find, like I read the book, you know, Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. It was, you know, very popular, and I was really interested in reading it. And she was talking about how you needed to have a mentor to get to these levels in the corporate, on the corporate ladder. And one of the things that I didn't feel like was explained well enough for me was, how do you find these mentors? In certain fields, it's easier. Like when I was in academics, it was easier for me to get a mentor because that was part of the culture. And like I said, I got assigned a mentor. But in other parts of my career, mentorship is not really part of the culture, but I feel like I could still benefit, and I think other people could still benefit from mentorship. So how can you get a mentor if it's not necessarily part of the culture where you are?
Well, the first thing I would say is, and many people are hesitant to do so, but you do have to ask. And I think sometimes just some assumptions that someone's going to, quote unquote, help you and mentor you. But, you know, if I'm the one who someone would like me to work with them, to help them, to mentor them, I really appreciate when they say to me, I'd like you to be my mentor, because then that can set up for us a conversation about what exactly does that mean to them. I like to know what is it that they're looking for. I want to make sure that we set mutual expectations. I want to talk about what time commitment are we looking at. I mean, just like you and myself, I have a lot of other commitments, and so I need to understand what that individual is looking for. But I think when you ask someone, as opposed to just assuming they are there to be a mentor, that's the better way to go. And in terms of looking for people to be a mentor, I would say you want to be selective. Simply because you see someone who's in a role that perhaps you envision yourself being in at some point in time, that doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be the mentor for you. It may mean that, just like as we were discussing earlier, that if you're really looking to become much more self-aware, to be able to identify what are development opportunities for yourself that would allow you and position you to ultimately go into whatever that particular position you're looking for, it may be that the person who's there currently isn't the right person right now. Maybe you need someone who's in a different field, for example, who could be much more objective for you. And so I think, again, it's about trying to be selective. It's about feeling that it's okay to go outside of the traditional place you might think you have to find that mentor, and then it's asking.
That's a great point. And I think you hit the nail on the head with, sometimes we're afraid to ask, but when you ask, you are able to have that conversation and set up what those expectations are, and then find out if they're available to be a mentor, and if they're the right fit for you. So that is awesome. You have so much wisdom to share on this topic. I'm so glad that you agreed to share with us. One of the other things that I wanted to bring up is that why I wanted to ask you to do this topic is that I saw a Facebook post that you made that was extremely moving, and you talked about a woman that you had mentored and how you had poured into her life, but also how she had reciprocated and poured into your life, and then how it went beyond work. You mentioned that you had attended her wedding and her graduation, and it reminded me of one of my mentors, Dr. Beck, who's at UCSD in California, and how she came to my wedding in Jamaica, and how that relationship continues on. So I just wanted to ask you to tell a little bit more. I know she's just one of many people who you have mentored, but I wanted you to tell a little bit more about how you came to be her mentor and what that experience was like.
Well, I will say that this young lady has a really special place in my heart. She and I met at work. I was an executive for a small company, and we had never met, but little did I know that she was aware of me, even though I wasn't aware of her. And one afternoon I was going out for lunch and walking to my car, and she was brave enough to simply walk up to me and introduce herself. And what struck me was she said to me, she says, "I've never met anyone who looks like me who's an executive." And it just, you know, at that moment, I just had the biggest smile. And then she even went further and she said, "If there's ever an opportunity to come and work with you, I'd love to do so." And I'll tell you, it was just, it was fate. And we happened to have an entry-level position in our area, and I typically would not have been the person to interview her at all. But I was just so moved by the fact that she had come up to me. I reached out to our HR department and asked them if they would, you know, connect with her to see if she would meet our basic requirements, and she did. And so they said she does, and I thought, well, I'd like to interview her, which they were pretty surprised because I would not be the hiring manager.
Right.
But I wanted to interview her. And I will tell you, she showed up for the interview and she was so professionally dressed. She had a briefcase. She had prepared questions. I was just blown away by this young lady. And quick story is, hired her. She was at that time, she wasn't quite finished with college. She was, you know, she was in college, but she hadn't finished. And she joined us and started to work for us. And I saw right away she was just this really bright, bright young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And so I listened to her. She never asked me to mentor her at all. But there was just something about her that just struck me. And fast forward, she graduated from college. She then, you know, there's some things I just can't share. I would love to, which would really tie this together. But let me just say that she had some challenges personally in her life. And, there were things that I think she just felt more comfortable speaking to me about rather than her mom. And I was okay with that. And so, you know, I offered her advice when she asked. I would do things with her outside of work, but always maintaining that professionalism that I needed to in terms of the fact that she did work for me. But with that bloomed a friendship and a mutual respect. And there were so many things I learned about her and about her culture. She is Latino as well as African-American. And so there were parts of her that she brought me into, and it was just developed into this really rich friendship and relationship. And ultimately she thought about, she got married, and I was at her wedding, and she set me at the table with her parents, which, you know,
what an
it
honor.
Couldn't be more touching. Yes. What an honor. And ultimately she went to grad school, and that's when you saw the Facebook post, because I was so incredibly proud of her getting her master's, and we had planned, and I was going to be there, and then COVID-19 happened. And so I wasn't able to attend because they canceled her, you know, her ceremony. But what got me was the day of her graduation, she got dressed in her cap and gown, and she sent me a picture. She texted me a picture and told me that she wanted me to see her, you know, in her cap and gown. And then she called me and told me how much she appreciated how I had helped her recognize that she could do this. And so, you know, she's family. She and her kids and her husband, they're family. And again, she never asked to be a mentee of mine, but I just knew that that was the right thing to do. And it, I have taken as much away from it as hopefully she has as well.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story of a relationship. And I love how you were able to see something in her and she was able to see something in you. And then you connected. And And it's also awesome to hear how you were able to build a friendship and still keep the professional boundaries intact, because I think sometimes there's a little bit of a fear of building a friendship with somebody who is a professional mentor or somebody who is your boss, and knowing how to navigate that. And it sounds like you navigated that really well. So thanks for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
The other, like, up to this point, we've been talking a lot about professional mentorship in our careers, but there are lots of other ways that we mentor. You know, you mentioned community activism and community organizations, and you are on the board of nonprofit and community organizations, and I just wanted to get your take on how is it different mentoring in the corporate world versus within a community organization?
The thing that strikes me as probably one of the biggest differences is in the corporate world, it tends to be more formalized. It's more purposeful. People have, you know, there's the next position that they want. Or the corporation, which in the companies I've worked for, many of them, they have formal. And so they're very, very, I'm going to say stiff. They're very prescribed. You know, they share, for example, you need to meet with someone, you know, at least 2 hours per month. And they may have specific tasks that you need to accomplish, et cetera. That's what I see in the corporate world around mentorships. For me, what's much more impactful are those that you can do outside of that type of environment. The type that you can do within a community organization, the type that you can do with a staff or a person within a nonprofit. For me, those are much more impactful. They're much more far-reaching outside of your mentee, because when you're doing that, you're not only impacting the mentee, but that mentee who's a part of doing, whether it be social justice, whether it be community health, et cetera, they're going to be able to make a far greater impact. And so for me, it's the ability to be more agile. It's the ability to personalize it more than I would be able to do in that corporate kind of prescribed mentorship program. So those are some of the things that I see as the big differentiators.
Right. Definitely. Well, we are going to take a brief break, and then we will come back with more engaging conversation. All right. See you after the break.
Welcome back to SOAR and our show on mentoring with Karen Johnson. This has been such an engaging and powerful conversation. There may be some listeners who want to get in on it, so please press 1 if you would like to speak, if you have a comment or you want to ask a question. I don't want to be greedy and keep her all to myself. So press 1 if you'd like to speak. I'm going to go on to my next question. So, Karen, on this show, the focus is on sisters overcoming and rising. And mentoring is definitely one way that we can overcome and rise. But statistics still show that a lot of times it's more difficult for African-American women to get the same level of mentoring than their white male counterparts get. Why do you think it's difficult, and how can we overcome that?
Well, honestly, I think a lot of it is because of unconscious bias. And what I mean by that is that people like to surround themselves by people who look like them. It's just human nature. And if you look at, particularly in corporations, that are led by often white males who then hire other white males. It's not something, and it's not necessarily that it's conscious, but unconsciously, because of that, they don't necessarily think of mentoring, for example, a black or brown woman. It's not something that's going to be comfortable, and therefore they don't.
Yeah.
And the higher you get in organizations, you really, really start to see this. So when you have a lack of people of color in leadership positions, it means that there are most likely going to be less people available to mentor someone who looks like you or me. The other thing that I would say is a differentiator is that white males, they don't have a problem asking for what they want. And often women, in particular women of color, have that hesitation. And so when I think about why it's more difficult for women and women of color and African-American women to get that same level of mentoring, I think it gets down to that unconscious bias, the fact that we're not as comfortable asking for what we want. And when we look around trying to in a leadership position who could potential mentor us, there aren't very many people there.
Yeah, those are all excellent points. As you were talking, it reminded me of another book that I read called How to Play Hardball for Women. And they said something very similar, that as women, we're not as comfortable asking for what we want. And if we go back to what you said earlier, that the first step to finding a mentor is asking, then it makes sense that we would have less mentoring. And then I think the unconscious bias plays a role too. You know, you just naturally gravitate towards people who you are familiar with. And so that makes sense. So as we get more people of color and higher levels of leadership and executive positions, hopefully that part of it will get a little bit better. And then those of us women, especially brown and black women, we have to get more comfortable with asking for what we want.
If it's okay, I'd like to add just one thing to that. And I currently have 3 people that I would say that I'm mentoring, kind of formally, if you will. One of them is a white male, and he didn't ask me to mentor him. Actually, my company did. And so he and I have been working together now for, maybe about 2.5 years, even though formally we only were required to do it for 10 months. But we've continued, And the reason I wanted to mention that is that there's so many positive things that have come from our relationship. He lives in Texas, and he has been exposed to so many things, as he will share, that he never would have been had he not been paired with me. But what's most, to me, impactful about my ability to mentor him and him to be very receptive to it is the fact that I know by virtue of his now having spent time with me, gotten to know me, gotten to observe me in the workplace, I've seen things that he's done going forward. For example, and we're going back to that unconscious bias, when I first met him, he didn't have anybody on his team in a leadership perspective that was of color, not one individual. And so as we started to work together and we talked about the importance of having diversity of opinions, diversity of experiences in running his business, he then became very purposeful in trying to, when he had opportunities to add someone new to his team or when someone left and he was replacing them, he and I worked together. That was one of the things that we built into his plan around how he could work with our talent acquisition team to identify people who would be on his panel of potential candidates who looked differently than all the white males that he had currently in his leadership team. And so now he has a very different looking leadership team. He's done very well in running his business, but more importantly, he now knows that he doesn't need to be afraid. He doesn't need to be hesitant about including someone who looks different than him in the business world. And I think that's also a really important piece. So your mentees don't always have to look like you. Sometimes what you can do by having someone different is making a longer, more impactful piece by doing that.
Yeah, that is very, very powerful. Yeah, and you share that with him and then also with your other mentee, as well as with one of my mentees was Jewish and then the other one was Puerto Rican. And I learned so much from them that I wouldn't have had the intimate knowledge of had I not had that type of close relationship with them. So I definitely agree that that is a wonderful way to expand your viewpoint and to have an impact. What would you say is the best advice that you receive from a mentor that you have conveyed to your mentees?
That one's easy. it really is, because two of the mentors, one of which she is still very much a part of my life, and she is a dear, dear friend, but she has been just the absolute best. But she and a male mentor that I had gave me, said it a little differently, but gave me this piece of advice that I take to heart and I often give it to others. And that was that as women, we often believe that in order to move into a position, you know, a potential position, something that we aspire to, that we have to be able to check off every box, if you will, of having that skill or that experience, etc. You know, we then don't go for that big role because we look at it and say, well, you know, I can't check off all of these 10 boxes. But what my mentor said to me is to go for it. That I don't necessarily have to be able to check off each box, but believe that I have skills, believe that I have skills that are transferable and that I can leverage those skills to do whatever I believe that I can do. That's probably the best piece of advice I've ever received. And again, they didn't say it exactly the same, but the two of them, that's what they told me. And that's something that I took to heart. And as I've matriculated through my career, I've often went after roles where I know I couldn't check up all the boxes. But I believed
I
in myself.
I love that. Yeah. I've heard something similar to that before too, that sometimes men will see that they don't have all the qualifications and they still think, oh, well, I can learn. I can figure it out. And a lot of times women will hold back until they feel like they have all of the qualifications. But truly, there's one of the doctors has this podcast called Everything is Figureoutable. And that's true. You can figure it out. If you've gotten this far in your life
that's
and
right.
this far in your career, you have figured a lot of stuff out and you can figure out this next thing. So
that's right.
Yeah. How do you use your leadership skills, like the skills that you use at work, and how does that affect your style in your mentorship?
Wow. Well, one of the things that I have gotten a reputation for in my world is being able to turn around often businesses that aren't performing very well. And mm-hmm. when I think about why is that so, it's a lot of it comes back to leadership. It's really made me appreciate the importance of leadership. Some of the skills that I find that I use in order to do that, how I'm able to come into a place and turn around a business that isn't performing well is, first of all, taking the time to assess, to listen, to observe, which are the same skills that work very well when you're mentoring. You know, it's listening, mm-hmm. it's observing, it's helping to make that assessment. There are a couple of books that I read early on in my career that I use all the time when I'm working on turning around a business. And one of them is Good to Great. Another one oh. is, which is really kind of funny, it's called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And those books, yeah, it is. But let me tell you, it's a great book. And one of the things that I take from both of those that have helped me hone my leadership skills is they allow me to try to really help assess my leaders and how I can best support them, because I can't turn around a business by myself. I need my team
right.
to be able to envision that we can actually do so. I need to be able to inspire them. I need to be able to leverage whatever they do best in order for us to accomplish that. And so, you know, again, kind of listening, observing, assessing, those skills really help me figure out how to support my leaders. And ultimately, it allows me to help in their development, which is a mentorship of sorts. You know, mm-hmm. when you're a good manager, when you're a good leader, you're also mentoring your team as well. And so by doing so, I'm not only creating an environment where we can make our business thrive, but also hopefully I'm creating a succession plan in that those individuals, whether they stay with us and they can continue to perpetuate our business or they leave and go somewhere else, they are taking a piece of quote unquote my mentorship with them.
So you're having an impact on them in their current environment, but again, you're having a ripple effect. It's like throwing the coin or the rock in the pond, and it ripples outward into whatever they do in the future.
Yes.
Yeah. So it sounds like there are a lot of similarities between what you do with companies when you're trying to turn them around and what you do with your mentees, which makes sense. You're trying to help somebody become successful, whether it's a company or an individual. And I like how you gave the parallels and the similarities between the two. So I always like to have, you know, some pearls of wisdom to walk away with. And so it's difficult to distill it down into pearls, but if you had to distill it down into some pearls of wisdom that you wanted to share about mentoring, something that we could kind of put on a bumper sticker or maybe a little bit longer than that, what would those pearls be?
Ooh, One would be that give of yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, lean in. I'd also say that mentoring, it allows you the power to go beyond. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also say that don't wait necessarily for someone to ask you to mentor them. If you see someone who you believe you'd like to invest your time and talent and treasure in, then do so. You know, just do it. You don't have to wait for someone to ask you. And then finally, I'd say that a last pearl would be go into a mentorship to learn yourself, expecting to be educated, expecting to grow. It shouldn't be one-sided because it's going to be much more impactful. It's going to be much more rewarding to you as a mentor when you go into it thinking that way.
Yeah. Love those. Those are some great pearls. And we keep coming back to this reciprocity, that it's two-sided, that there's give and take on both sides. And that's beautiful, because that's sort of like what life is about. It's about relationships, or at least I feel like life is really about relationships. The other thing I wanted to ask you is that a lot of times, you know, I like to figure out what are some of the limiting beliefs. Those are negative thoughts or fear-based thoughts that hold people back from being mentored or mentoring others.
Well, I think the one that I probably hear most often from people is it is going to take too much time. You know, I don't have the time. And another, I think, which is really self-defeating, but that is that people don't feel that they have something important to offer. You know, I've heard many people say to me, well, Karen, I don't really think I have a lot to offer a mentee. And, you know, I push back on that hard. I'm like, absolutely you do. And so I think those are some of the things, the negative thoughts that can kind of reside in our minds, you know, that we don't have enough time or, you know, we don't really have anything valuable to offer. And I think that sometimes holds people back from being willing to be a mentor, or just thinking that they can't do a good job of it. And then finally, I would say that you don't have to be perfect at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one's expecting you to be a perfect mentor. So if you can think about the fact that it's going to be a journey, it's going to be a mutual educational experience as well as a mutual personal relationship building experience, then you'll know it's not going to be perfect, and that's okay. As a matter of fact, you're probably both going to grow from the shortcomings or the failings throughout that mentorship.
Yeah. Really good points. I hear that a lot too, that I don't have enough time or I don't have enough to give. And I actually have thought those same thoughts myself. And I think I am encouraged to be more open to the possibility of mentoring, knowing that we're both going to grow through the process and knowing that I don't have to be perfect. I think a lot of times the need for perfection can stand in the way from us experiencing lots of fun, lots of joy, and lots of growth. So that's definitely one thing that I will take away from this call, that I don't need to be perfect, and that it's a mutual give and take. And also that you can sort of set your expectations and your boundaries in the beginning. If you know that this is the amount of time that you have and you're clear with your prospective mentee that this is the amount of time that you have, then you do have enough time if they agree to that, the amount that you're offering. So, yeah. So that is wonderful. Karen, I just cannot thank you enough for coming on and for sharing all of the knowledge that you've shared about mentoring. I know that it has been impactful for me and also for my listening audience and for those people who will be listening to this podcast from here on out. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown, but affectionately, my Stephanie. It's been my pleasure.
Yes.
And I'm just so incredibly grateful that you're doing something like this, because I know that by virtue of your having discussions like this, there's some young lady out there who will be, you know, motivated and will hopefully take that step to reach out to someone and ask them, you know, to be their mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Or there'll be someone who will say, you know what, I'd like to be a mentor. So thank you so very much for making a difference.
Absolutely. And thank you to all of my listeners. Continue to live well, love hard, and laugh often. Good night, and hopefully I will talk to you next Sunday.
Thank you.
Oh, oh, oh.
Psychology.
You've taken good care.